My sermon this morning is entitled Soul Winning. A special touch is concerned with soul winning among the disabled, among the section of society that presents special problems in winning their souls. But the reality is this, because my theme is bringing them to Jesus. You will bring them to Jesus if you get involved. We sang that you wanted to go to the ends of the world, and we're just telling you, you don't have to go to the ends of the world to minister to someone, to bring Jesus to someone, 2 hours, 30 minutes, to bring Jesus to them. My text this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 49. As usual, you'll find it printed in your handouts in the New King James, together with the sermon outline for your easy reference. So walk with me as I always do through Psalm 19:14. And so, dear Lord, this morning, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You know, as an introduction, I want you to consider just a few seconds of the life of Lyman Beecher. Just for your information, he was the father of Harriet Beecher Stowe, 19th century American author. I think her most read novel was Uncle Tom's Cabin. She was a renowned lady and a suffragist, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for women. Well, Lyman Beecher was her father. And he was a man with a powerful intellect, a brilliant scholar and preacher of his day. You know, he was such a great and popular preacher that they would publish his sermons in newspapers throughout the country. And when he was on his deathbed, someone once came to him and said to him, Dr. Beecher, you are a great intellect, a brilliant scholar. Can you tell us what you believe is the greatest thing that a human can do or be in this life? And Lyman Beecher, lying there in his deathbed, said this, quote, the greatest thing is not that a man should be a scientist, important as that is. Not that a man should be a statesman, as important as that is. Not even that one should be a great theologian, immeasurably important as that is. But the greatest thing of all things is for one human being to bring another human being to the Lord Jesus Christ. End of quote. If that be true, and I believe that it is, then it may be that the greatest disciple of the 12 was the disciple called Andrew. And Andrew is only mentioned 3 times in the Gospel of John. Each time he is mentioned, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. And first he brought his brother to Jesus. Later on, he brings a young boy with loaves and fishes to Jesus. And later he brings a lot of Greeks who wanted to meet Jesus. You know, after Andrew first met the Lord Jesus, the next thing he wanted to do was to introduce him to everybody else. And the more I pastor and observe the average Christian, the more I am convinced that the reason more Christians are not bringing people to Jesus is not primarily because they don't know how, but it is primarily because they don't know him as much as they should. Because to know him is to love him. And to love him is to want others to love him, and therefore to share him. You know, too many Christians, we spend too much of our time in endeavors which have nothing to do with making disciples. You know, we can look at our text this morning, and we can see in our text everything we need to know to understand how we can evangelize the world. You will also see that every Christian has what is necessary in his hand, in his head, and his heart to be able to bring the message of the gospel to people without Jesus. So let's look at our study here. Let's look at the first in your outline is commitment to Jesus. Our text, verses 35 to 37, states, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." They followed Jesus. Now, those last three words are the key to everything else. Soul winning, first of all, is primarily a matter of following the Lord Jesus. And from the beginning, we find that soul winners were made when Jesus simply said, "Follow me." And they followed him. Soul winning is primarily a matter of obedience. To follow someone simply means to obey their commands and to emulate their example. When you follow someone, you go where they tell you to go. You do what they tell you to do. You say what they tell you to say. You know, Jesus said in Mark 1:17, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." That means if you're not fishing, you're not following. R.A. Torrey, one of the greatest Bible teachers in the 20th century, said this, quote, "I would like to ask, what right does a man have to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he's not a soul winner? There is absolutely no such thing as following Christ unless you make the purpose of his life the purpose of your life." Amen. Consider Jesus telling Philip in verse 43, "Follow me." The next thing you see Philip doing is bringing Nathanael to Jesus. When you are following Jesus, you will be witnessing. And when you are witnessing, you will be following Jesus. You got to understand that all of these men were not trained. They just had a heart full of Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, he will lead you to the lost. And the lost can then be led by you to Jesus. Consider the second part of your outline is communion with Jesus. Our text, verses 38 and 39, states, "Then Jesus turned and seeing them follow, he said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'teacher,' 'Where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour." So after the disciples had made a commitment to follow Jesus, I want you to notice that they then took some time to fellowship with him. Now, fellowship always comes before fishing, and worship always comes before witnessing. And we're told here in this text that they stayed with Jesus that day, beginning about the 10th hour. That would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In other words, they spent all that evening and all that night talking with Jesus. And the next morning, after having spent all that time with Jesus, they were so full of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had to go and tell somebody about him. Listen, the more time you spend with Jesus, the better you know Jesus. And the better you know Jesus, the more you excited you will be about Jesus. And the more excited you are about Jesus, the more you want to tell others about Jesus. It's well known that the only way to really know someone is to spend time with them. Have you ever met someone for just a short period of time and you felt like you had known that person all of your life? Well, that is really false feeling. Because you may learn fast, but you don't know fast. It takes time to know somebody. You know, when you meet people, people tend to talk about what they know and who they know. And if you listen to people talk long enough, you will find out what they really know. And you'll find out what they are really excited about. And I'm convinced one of the reasons why many Christians talk very little about Jesus is because they know Jesus very little. You know, it's hard. Think about it. It's hard to get excited about someone you really don't know very much about. If you're not excited about soul winning, quite frankly, it's because you're not excited about the Savior. You know, I believe It is an impossibility to have a quality, quiet time, day by day. Spending time with Jesus, blessing Jesus, praising Jesus, loving Jesus, listening to Jesus, learning about Jesus, getting filled with Jesus, and not be about the business of bringing people to Jesus. Consider third in your outline, confession of Jesus. Our text, verses 40 to 41. That states, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. Again, now that they had spent time with Jesus, these disciples were so full of Jesus, they had to go tell somebody else about Jesus. And so Andrew first seeks his own brother. And the first thing he must have said after he found his brother was, "Brother, I've got great news. I have found the Messiah." I want you to notice again that Andrew and these men had not had 1 ounce of training before they went. This is what they had. They had a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They had communion with the life of Jesus, and they had compassion for the lost of those who did not know Jesus. Listen, if you have commitment, communion, and compassion, you will be a soul winner. You know, Andrew may not have realized it, but he was now in a new business. He was now in the soul business. And I want to tell you, there is no business like soul business. You may not have ever thought of yourself as being in that business, but I want to tell you, every Christian is in the soul business, and every soul without Jesus is our business. And I want you to notice how these disciples confessed the Lord Jesus. First, in your outline, consider A, they were seeking. We are told in verse 41 that Andrew first found his brother. In verse 45, we are told that Philip found Nathanael. In other words, they were looking for lost people. You generally find something when you're looking for it. And they were seeking people who did not know Jesus. You know, God is a seeker. You know, Jesus Christ is a seeker. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." As a reminder for those of you who are saved, you were not saved looking for God. You were saved because God was looking for you. I hear people talk a lot about finding God. Listen, if you found God, it's because God first found you. But also our attitude is so different these days. Our attitude is, we will pad the pews, carpet the floor, air condition the building, robe the choir, pay the pastor. And then if anybody that is lost wants to be saved, they can come to church. That sounds like a good strategy, but it is totally the wrong solution. You look at Luke 15, Jesus tells two parables. A parable about the lost sheep, and a parable about the lost coin. And Jesus made two points. One, the shepherd looks for the lost sheep. Two, the steward looks for the lost coin. If you had a son and he was lost and he had gotten out into the woods and couldn't find his way home, and you were his parent, what would you do? Would you just sit in the house, read a magazine, drink a Coke, have the television blaring and say to yourself, "He knows where his house is. He knows where the home is. He's got a nice bedroom. He's got a TV. He's got a stereo. He's got a Nintendo. If he wants to come home badly enough, he will find it." Nonsense. Absolutely not. If you loved that son, you would call out the dogs. You would call out the police. You would comb every inch of the woods trying to find that boy. Take that intensity and try to understand that we ought to have the same attitude And it should be the attitude of every Christian on earth, seeking those who do not know Jesus. Nothing less. Now notice who they were seeking. Andrew went seeking for his family, and Philip went seeking for his friend. They both started in their own neighborhood. One started at home, one started with his next door neighbor, but both started with people that they knew and they loved. The best place to start winning souls is right where you live. So many people think you have to go overseas to be a missionary when you've never even been a missionary at home. That is exactly what we need. Amen. We need to start in our homes, in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, winning our families and winning our friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, consider B in your outline. They were speaking. Now, the apostles did not leave Jesus and just try to set a good example. They did not have the attitude, well, I will just try to live a good Christian life. I will just try to set a good example and be as much like Jesus as I can, and hopefully people will be drawn to Jesus by the way I live. They did not just witness by their lives, though I'm sure they did. They witnessed with their lips. Today, people still say, well, I just witnessed by my life. Listen, people are not saved by your life. They are saved by his death. People will not know about it until we tell them about it. Which brings to mind special touch. There are ways that have to be told that can only be listened to by people with special needs. And somebody has to give them that message. Because I want you to notice what happens is when there is a commitment to Jesus, communion with Jesus, and confession of Jesus, there will be conversion by Jesus. Regardless of your status, disability, handicap, whatever you are in the world, you have the right to have access to the conversion by Jesus. And I want you to notice carefully that it is Jesus who does the converting, not the soul winner. I cannot save anybody, and I thank God it's not my job to save anybody. All I'm supposed to do is bring people face to face with Jesus, and it is Jesus through the Holy Spirit who does the rest. And I want you to notice how the process of conversion is accomplished. First, in your outline, a personal presentation. Before people can be saved, there must be a personal presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Andrew and Philip both said, "We have found Jesus, the Messiah. Come and see." Everybody was personally presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want you to see that Jesus was not winning everybody. Jesus won Philip, but he did not win Nathaniel. And he did not win Peter. It was Andrew who won Peter. It was Philip who won Nathaniel. It was John the Baptist who won Andrew. I cannot do my soul winning for you. You cannot do my soul winning through you. But we can all do our own soul winning to the glory of God. And I think it's high time that all of us quit sitting around saying, I can't be a soul winner. And instead say, by the grace of God, I will be a soul winner. Listen, if you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, you can still tell of the love of Jesus. You can still say that he died for all. If this city, town, if this community, this county, this country, this continent is going to be presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will not be done by a few superstar preachers. It will either be done by the Andrews, the Phillips, the Simons, and the Nathaniels of the world, or it may not be done at all. Charles Spurgeon said this, quote, "If the kingdom is ever to come to our Lord, and come it will, it will never come through a few ministers, missionaries, or evangelists preaching the gospel. It must come through every one of you, preaching it in the shop, and by the fireside and when walking around. You must, all of you, always be endeavoring to bring some. End of quote. Second in your outline, consider, be a positive declaration. You know, both Andrew and Philip declared, we have found Jesus. We have found the Messiah. The first step to being a soul winner is that you must be sure of your own salvation. What have you found? You know, I suspect one of the reasons why many Christians do not talk about Jesus and do not tell others about Jesus is because they're not really sure that they too know Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Have you found Jesus? I did not ask you if you found facts about Jesus. I did not ask you if you found things about Jesus that you like. I didn't even ask you if you had found things about Jesus that you love. Have you found Jesus? Do you definitely and definitively know the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, there must be that positive declaration of your own knowledge of Jesus if you're going to bring to others a knowledge of Jesus. Third, consider your outline a persuasive confrontation. You know, over and over in our passage, in our text, you see that people who are saved when they're confronted one-on-one by the Lord Jesus Christ. If evangelism is going to bring salvation, ultimately there must be confrontation. To confront simply means to bring face-to-face. If you're going to win anybody to Jesus, you ultimately have to bring that person face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of the most beautiful words of the Bible are found in our text, verse 42, where we're told he brought him to Jesus. Listen, in a nutshell, that is what soul winning is all about, simply bringing people to Jesus. Now, I want you to see that Andrew didn't just bring him to church. Andrew didn't just bring him to the pastor. He didn't just bring him to Sunday school. He brought him to Jesus. And when there is personal presentation, including a positive declaration resulting from a persuasive confrontation, there will be, fourth D in your outline, a powerful transformation. You know, when Peter and Nathanael were confronted with Jesus, there was a tremendous transformation in their lives. Jesus gave Peter a new name. Verse 42 of our text, he says, you are Simon the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas. And I believe that one of the reasons he gave Simon a new name was because Simon was a new creation. Did you know that in eternity you too will have a new name? The Bible says in Isaiah 62:2, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. You know, Jesus told the church at Pergamum in Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. I tell you, when you get saved at that moment in time, you have a new name written down in glory. But not only did Jesus give Peter a new name, he gave them new natures. I want you to notice the tremendous change that came over Nathanael from verse 46 to verse 49. In verse 46, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But in verse 49, he said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You know, when he met Jesus, he went from being a foe to a friend. He went from being a doubter to a disciple. He went from blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from weakness to might, and from wrong to right. And I'm here to tell you that this transformation that only Jesus can bring is the only hope for this world. And the wonderful thing about salvation, it doesn't deal with the symptom. It always deals with the problem. You know, a native of Africa, a former cannibal, was boiling a big pot of soap. And as he was stirring that soap, he was reading his Bible because he had been gloriously saved. A tourist came by, happened to see him as he was sightseeing, and he saw the native reading the Bible. He walks over and he says, "Do you really believe what you read in that Bible?" Well, the native just smiled and looked at him and said, "Mister, if I didn't believe this Bible, I would be boiling you." That is the wonderful transformation that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'll ask the praise team to come up for a quick closing song of praise. Please stand if you're able. Make these words your own. Amen. Get all excited. If you are able always to go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Amen. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. Will you do that? Listen, as we close this service and we leave this sanctuary, ask yourselves if you expect this will be true of you, to one day say, "Would to God I could point to someone before my life is over and say, I brought him to Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
See you next week.